Good morning, citizen lobbyist.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You're back. You were on a trip, and now you're back, and you're here in Palmer. And how's that feel?
You know what? It feels great to have all your travel for the year done, although someone pointed out to me yesterday the year is nearly over. But I did get back just in time for Colony Christmas, which I missed last year, and I'm oh so glad I came back this year because it was quite a celebration, wasn't it, Mike?
Oh, it was incredible. We participated in a variety of ways. In particular, Palmas Aromakai did some folding of cranes.
I saw people with them.
Oh, yeah, about 300 people came through to just do that, and it was wonderful. It was a great...
If you have any idea how many people were downtown, I don't think I've ever seen that many people in Palmer.
We've tried to estimate that, and I attended the Palmer Council meeting on Tuesday, and there were references to the success of the days and a variety of events, but no one really had, I think, a clear number to put to it. I would say, though, you know, as my memory is, this was successful in that there were a lot of people and a lot of events, and just measuring, for example, the folding of the cranes, 300 people, a lot of people to pass through the small room there at the library doing it, and it signals that in many cases, the events that happen, and they happen each year, are expected. So people come back and they do more, as well as folding in some new experience. So
right.
Yeah.
So this year they had the beer bike race, and I heard there were 400 entries in that. So just looking at the streets during the parade, wow, that was good job, Palmer.
Yep. Well, let's start with the joint meeting.
I can breeze through that pretty quick.
Okay.
They had a joint, a quarterly, by ordinance, the Massey Borough is required to hold a joint school board meeting with the members of the school board. So it was the members of the school board and members of the assembly at the dais, and it makes for kind of a full crowd there. Everybody was there other than Barbara Doty, who actually called in. She's traveling. And Dr. Dierman, who was not present at all, nor did call in. So, but still, just everybody else was there. Good to see. Got started. I love the way they start with entertainment. I think they should put that into code, Mike.
Okay.
And it was the Colony High Drumline performance. These were part of the group that went and did the Macy's Day Parade, and they were really quite, quite good. And I think somebody has put some video on Facebook with it, but that's always a great way to start it. So that was a good kickoff. And I think it kind of, everybody was in a pretty good mood because it was the holidays anyway, and it was a short agenda, but I think that certainly helped. They only had one member of the audience, although it was open for audience participation, and it was Michael Carson from his affiliate with My House and other substance abuse programs in town. And he reported that it looks like we're going to come in at about 75 overdoses in the state on opiate overdoses or some type of overdose, which will be a slight decrease, which was good to hear, although that's a pretty amazing number. He gave credit for that to the governor, who started this Project Hope and right away was one of six governors to declare a crisis, opiate crisis in our state, and things got kicked into action quick, including 7,000 Narcan kits that were sent around the state. He also put up a bill up for a seven-day supply, limiting opiates to a seven-day supply, so there's some credit for that. And he always gives a pretty interesting little 3-minute talk there. He talked about working with my house is working with the troopers and the school district, all those Narcan kits, and they have disposable bags now for medication, trying to get those out of off places. And he's been showing quite a famous movie called Chasing the Dragon, presenting that at school. So, just back to prevention is imperative that you have to have that. And they're still thinking that in our country, 650,000 lives will be lost in the next 10 years to overdose, which is a staggering number. So, but it looks like they've got a good project there, and they're making some headway. So the other thing that was on, it was they did have some preliminary talks, Mike, on the annual budget. Not much really there. They, you know, talked about healthcare costs, of course, being their number one driver now. In fact, it's interesting. Teachers are the most expensive cost driver of the district, which you would hope would be the case. Second is healthcare, and third are classified employees. So healthcare has even superseded the cost of part of their personnel, which is kind of a staggering thing, I think.
Right.
But there really isn't much to tell right now because they are a little under enrollment. I think maybe 100 kids. I can't remember. They talked about some of their legislative priorities and some policy changes that they're hoping that the legislature will make for a more favorable avenue for funding. And we can probably have a whole show about that. And I would recommend you, if you haven't had Superintendent Monica Goyo there soon, that you may ask her to talk about it, because it's interesting what they have as their legislative priorities, especially with policy. And she and Luke Falk did such a great job in talking about it. I don't want to murder it here, but
sure.
It's interesting.
Well, the district comes in weekly now, of course, and I would suspect that Jillian Morrissey arranging these will have the superintendent in to focus on that. Yeah.
So then only other thing on was it was a report from the task force that was appointed to talk about sales report, about sales tax, Mike?
Right.
The chairman of that board was in. He is Robert Hall. He's a fireworks. Owns all the fireworks down out in Houston. He was the chair. Gave a just kind of a very brief overview. There was a handout at the meeting, which is online now. If you go, I know on the borough Facebook page, Patty Sullivan has put it up there along with a recording of the meeting. And I'd encourage people to not only listen to a little bit of the meeting that they talked about it, but also look at the handout, because I think this committee did good work. They only got to meet, I can't remember, four or five times. But they did come up with some recommendations for a phase one. And a lot of it has to do with the revenue cap, which is a really complicated issue, as you and I know.
Right.
And something that the borough adopted, I think almost 20 years ago now, maybe 15, but that, you know, times have changed and cost shifting from the state being what it has been, that they need to take a look at that. That's the number one thing that the committee recommended, that, you know, not the tax revenue cap maybe not go away, but that they actually adjust it. And, of course, the borough assembly has the ability to do that. Phase two, they talked about asking citizens to weigh in on a sales tax, and there are some options there, more excise tax, things like cigarette tax, Mike, is a big one. Seasonal charges to maybe a seasonal tax for visitors, that sort of thing. And also to encourage fairness in school allocation statewide for funding. And there's that again is sort of a deep subject. But only after all those things are explored, basically, and the handout talks about this, they recommended a sales tax, but that it also be a direct replacement to offset property tax.
Oh, okay.
Which is going to be an interesting way to do that and how they figure that out, because they don't collect it now, so I don't know how they're going to estimate how much they would get from that. They'll know from the cities, but they won't really know from the areas of borough that have never had a sales tax. But it also was recommended that the cities actually collect it and to avoid the borough staffing increases. And that was about it, Mike. But it's interesting. They're now going to go. I think there was some discussion at the end of coming back to the next assembly meeting and actually having the manager craft several examples of how the revenue cap could be changed and how these recommendations could be followed through, but their intent, I think, is to try to get something in front of them to decide it on before they take the budget up next spring. So they've got their work cut out for them. But I think the citizen advisory group, which seems fairly balanced by the people that were on it, gave them some good information to start with, and we'll see what happens.
Was there any discussion about further discussion, or have you come across information about the next assembly meeting next week, with the last of the 2017 year?
Why don't you tell me? I haven't looked at it. Let me look it up here real quick. Mike, will you tell me what happened at Palmer on Tuesday?
Okay. I can say that the Palmer, two meetings. The first meeting with 6 p.m. was a special meeting to pretty much provide an opportunity to discuss the budget that was going to be presented at the regular meeting at 7. There was a little bit of discussion, but pretty much the budget work had been done. And so when 7 o'clock arrived, there were comments made about this or that, primarily looking to have further discussions on specific items in 2018. Basically, the budget itself had been prepared in a fashion that was ready to go. They printed it off in a final form, and we were out of there pretty quickly. The regular meeting lasted about an hour or so, and they approved the budget. And as they have been in the past, they have been wont to do, they canceled the December 26th meeting. They need it here, so they will... They're done. Budget's done, and the council is done, and we'll pick up in January. So I think there was a sense of accomplishment, relief. There were two members on the phone. Steve Carrington and Sabrina Combs were both calling in. They participated, though, and it was all over and done.
Wow, so that was short and sweet. What time did you get out of there? Early, all day?
I did. It was about 8 o'clock. It was very nice to do, yes.
Boy, it was a short Tuesday. You can tell it's the holidays. I think my meeting was over, I think it's 7:30, actually, so it was really quick. So next week, this week, Mike, you just asked me about the borough. The borough will be meeting next week on Tuesday for a regular scheduled meeting. At 4 o'clock, they'll have an executive session having to do with employee contracts.
Right.
As we know, I think, not only is the borough contract, employee contracts up for negotiation, I think there are also all bodies, or at least two of the contracted groups in the school district
Yes.
are working on their contracts. So there are a lot of executive sessions trying to work that out. And that's what the 4 o'clock meeting is going to be about. And as I look through this, Mike, this is interesting. An informational memorandum is a notification that the city of Palmer is exercising the option to purchase Fire Station 3-1 property, which will be interesting. So I don't know if we'll have any talk about that, but if you have some upcoming city of Palmer people coming in, you might ask them about that.
I'll do that.
And then a lot of it is just contract. There's also, I think I saw in here, a amendment to get to dispense of the marijuana advisory board.
Oh.
So apparently they feel that the work for that committee is now done.
That's interesting. That is very interesting.
It says, a resolution discontinuing the marijuana advisory prior to the sunset date that was already set of June 30th. They must feel that they're done.
Okay. And you made a reference to the negotiations that are ongoing over at the school district. I did have a chance to listen to a bit of the school board meeting last week. And the focus was significantly on the issue that you also mentioned earlier, health insurance. There was a representative from the health trust that was in, and she was up there, I'm going to guess, for at least an hour. And the question keeps coming up of whether the health trust approach is the best deal, or whether there is another way of providing health insurance, either through someone like Primera or a self-insured program of a different sort. And the health trust, just for listeners and your reminding has been in existence for 21 years.
Yeah.
And they have done, and the way this works is that the teachers in the Mat-Su School District and those in Anchorage and I believe a couple other places are in the trust. And that means that the trust does the negotiation with the in-service providers to get the best rate, as well as identifying a third-party administrator that actually handles all of the details of how to make this happen. And over the years, the trust has suggested that it has done a pretty good job, and it has learned how to negotiate very well and has kept the prices low. And so the big contention, and a number of members of the school board would like to see the data that is part of what the trust has of claims, et cetera. And the trust is saying, we don't do that. And you can go out and get your, decide if you'd like to do something else, and you could come back with a proposal, but our work suggests that you'd be hard pressed to do it better. And so I'm not sure where they're going to go with this. As you pointed out, this is a large sum of money that's involved, a payment from both the school district and individual teachers that contribute into making this happen. So I'm hoping to bring in a representative from the Health Trust to talk a little bit more specifically about how they do things, and then also have a further discussion with people from the school district about their ideas about how this might get better.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. I think that's been part of the problem, is there really hasn't been enough. There's been a lot of talk about each other, but not enough of talk with each other. And you're right, the ongoing negotiations, Mike, there is an impasse of two groups at the Mat-Su School District, and it is a big amount. Health insurance is their second largest driver. I told you that earlier, $40 million a year. And one of the things, and this might be something for your questions for the Health Trust, one of the things that the superintendent pointed out was they don't determine our rates on individually how we do, how our health, on just Mat-Su, it's all lumped into Across Alaska. Now, she thinks that may do a disservice because we're lumped in with everybody that is part of the trust. But I don't know, I was going to tell her after the last health impacts that I've seen. I just did one in Juneau. Mat-Su is not very healthy. And it might be argued that Mat-Su might be bringing everybody else's health insurance up because of what the indicators are that I've seen so far. And so that would be something to look at right
there. Sure. In general, my understanding about this whole thing, and it's the discussion that happens at a national level, is that if the larger the pool, the better off you are as an individual. That you and what we're looking at is to say, okay, it's almost like looking at the record that a stockbroker would have and saying, oh, this year I have done extremely well. I've predicted everything. And then someone says, well, what about over 10 years? Well, maybe not so good. The point of it being that we're up and down. And you may have 1 or 2 years of good claims data, and everything looks well, and then all of a sudden you plunge into needing a lot more work, and as a result, with a smaller pool, you get hit. So it is, well, yeah, I would agree. Well, needs more work.
What it breaks down to, and this is what they reported Tuesday, is health insurance for the borough is $22,000 per employee per year.
Okay.
It's $23,500, they're slightly higher than what the trust for the education trust pays. And I know there was some preliminary talks at some point of could the borough and the school district get together. The city of Fairbanks does that with their school district. I don't know, that might be a legislative thing, but that's the conversation I haven't heard too much about. So there, as you speaking to what you just said, Mike, about growing the numbers, could we lump the borough into that? Even though it's an educational trust, it would probably take the National Education Trust to sign off on it, but we're all looking for, you know, for fixes here. So well, there is a...
Probably the better way to go, I mean, adding a few hundred employees from the borough is one thing. Adding thousands from the Anchorage School District and others is quite another. But adding even tens or hundreds of thousands of people from the state of Alaska, perhaps making a very large trust that includes everybody in Alaska, might just be the best way to go.
Yeah, Alaska Common Ground has been doing some interesting seminars in Anchorage. I'm going to attend one in January. When they've been talking about healthcare. They had one last night, actually, I think. And
right.
Then they have a series of them coming, actually, with some suggestions on how to fix it and not trying to be part of the group, yeah, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, but actually coming up with some fixes. So I'm curious to see if any of those fixes will address this problem. It's a serious problem, and it is a huge budget driver, and nobody has quite found the secret sauce to cure it yet. And we're all looking for it. So,
okay. Well, citizen lobbyist, we've covered a lot of ground here, done a lot of stuff upon your return, and we have some still remaining events, and at least one big meeting happening next Tuesday. So
looks like it'll be a short one, Mike. I'm looking through this agenda right now, unless something extraordinary comes out of it with report-wise, which sometimes gets in there. I think we may. Knock on wood, I would like to say, because it is the week before Christmas, but it could be a short one next week, too.
Okay. Well, we'll have to save the broader questions for Valley Edition. And in the meantime, have a good day. It's going to be a little snowy today, so take care out there.
That's right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good morning, citizen lobbyist.